Let me begin with a question this morning. I wonder whether you would describe yourself this morning as a wanderer or a pilgrim. Which of those two words sort of immediately springs to mind? You say, yep, that's me. It's quite good sometimes to stop and ask ourselves that question, isn't it? Wanderer is someone who has perhaps no clear purpose in life. They move from one thing to another, tossed around by the circumstances of life, so the storms, the trials that we've just been singing about in that song come, and instead of finding God, the rock, they just fall apart. A pilgrim, on the other hand, is very different. I just love this picture. I don't know how well it comes out on the screen behind me. Not at all well, actually, because it's very bright in here this morning. But a lovely picture of a forest with the sun shining through it and a path. You can't quite see where that path ends up, but you know this morning, if you're a pilgrim, because you're on the path, you're on the right way, you know that you're heading in the right direction. There may be lots of distractions and lots of difficulties along the way, but you know this morning that you're heading in the right direction. And the psalm that we come to look at together this morning, I think, has got something for all of us, because it's a psalm which has so much to say to us about experiencing the goodness of God. It's written to us, whether you are a wanderer this morning and you are far away from God. It's written to you if you are in the middle of a crisis. It's written to encourage you if you just need encouragement to keep going this morning. There is something in this psalm for all of us. The psalm that we're going to look at together in a few moments is Psalm 107. I want to say something about this psalm before we look at it, because it was written around the time that the people of Israel had returned from exile to Jerusalem. And it's a psalm which is written, and it's packed full of lessons from their own history. And one of the ways that we learn, surely, as the people of God, is that we learn from our own mistakes, do we not? Because if we don't learn from our own mistakes, there is something wrong. And this psalm is written to encourage people who've come back from exile, because the goodness of God has brought them back to their own land. And it details all kinds of circumstances and says to the people of God, remember the goodness of your God. So I want to read it to you this morning before we look at it, because it teaches us more about the character of God. And it helps us to learn from the past experiences of God's people. And I trust from our own experience as well. Quite a long psalm, but I want to read it all to you. There are four distinct groups of people in this psalm, so can you identify as we read it. Psalm 107. If you can share with someone beside you who's not got a Bible, you'll find it helpful, because it's quite a long psalm that we're going to read. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say this. Those he redeemed from the hand of the foe, those he gathered from the lands, from the east and the west, from the north and the south. Some wandered in desert wastelands, finding no way to a city where they could settle. They were hungry and thirsty, and their lives ebbed away. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He led them by a straight way to a city where they could settle. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for men, for he satisfies the thirsty. He fills the hungry with good things. Some sat in darkness and deepest gloom, prisoners suffering in iron chains, for they had rebelled against the words of God and despised the counsel of the Most High. So God subjected them to bitter labor, and they stumbled, and there was no one to help. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress, and he brought them out of darkness and deepest gloom, and broke away their chains. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for men. For he breaks down gates of bronze, and he cuts through bars of iron. Some became fools through their own rebellious ways, and suffered affliction because of their iniquities. They loathed all food and drew near to the gates of death. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. And he sent forth his word, and he healed them, and he rescued them from the grave. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for men. Let them sacrifice thank offerings and tell of his works with songs of joy. Others went out on the sea in ships. They were merchants on the mighty waters. They saw the works of the Lord and his wonderful deeds in the deep. For he spoke and stirred up a tempest that lifted the waves high. They mounted up to the heavens and they went down to the depths. In their peril, their courage melted away, and they reeled and they staggered like drunken men because they were at their wits' end. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he brought them out of their distress. He stilled the storm to a whisper. The waves of the sea were hushed. They were glad when it grew calm, and he guided them to their desired haven. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for men. Let them exalt him in the assembly of the people and praise him in the council of the elders. He turned rivers into a desert, flowing springs into thirsty ground, fruitful land into a salt waste because of the wickedness of those who live there. He turned desert into pools of water, and the parched ground into flowing springs. There he brought the hungry to live, and they founded a city where they could settle. They sowed fields and planted vineyards that yielded a fruitful harvest. He blessed them, and their numbers greatly increased, and he did not let their herds diminish. Then their numbers decreased, and they were humbled by oppression, calamity, and sorrow. He who pours contempt on nobles made them wander in a trackless waste. But he lifted the needy out of their affliction and increased their families like flocks. The upright see and rejoice, but all the wicked shut their mouths. Whoever is wise, let him heed these things and consider the great love of the Lord. But I do keep that psalm in front of you this morning because we're going to refer to it at pretty frequent intervals for the next few minutes. It's a good place sometimes to start at the end of something rather than the beginning of something. Just glance back, will you, in the Bible to the last verse that we've just read. Because it ends with an instruction to us. If you've not got a Bible, here it is on the screen behind me. Whoever is wise, let them heed these things. Let them heed the things that we've just read together. And then consider the great love of the Lord. I like the way Eugene Peterson puts it in his translation. He says, if you are really wise, then you will think this over. And I hope that's what we're going to do this morning as we look at what this psalm has to say to us about the character of God, that we will heed these things, that we will think them over, that we will appreciate by the end of this morning more of the depth of God's love for us. So what is it that we're being asked to think about? What is it that we're being asked to heed in this psalm? Well, I think there are four things that we can identify. There are four very practical things for us to think about and to contemplate on this morning. The first is that this is a psalm, or it's a story about people who are hurting. The psalm, as you will see as we read it, introduces us to four very different groups of people, all of them who are hurting, all of them who are affected by the circumstances of life. Some of them have brought trouble deliberately on themselves because of their own actions. And there are others who find themselves just caught up in the circumstances of life, as so often happens, where we're left with far more questions than we have answers. Let's see if we can identify these people. Look at verse 4 with me, will you? Because firstly, we have a group of hurting people. And the reason that they're hurting, according to verse 4, as we'll see in a minute, is because they have deliberately walked out on God. Some wandered in desert wastelands, finding no way to a city where they could settle. Remember, the psalm is teaching us lessons from the history of God's people. Here's a verse which immediately takes the people back to the time when they were wandering in the desert. It's a picture from their own history. It reminds them of their behavior under their leader, Moses. During the time, if you know anything of that story, when they preferred to grumble and to moan rather than to follow the spiritual leaders that God had given to them. And because of their persistent moaning and groaning, eventually God says, enough is enough. He draws a line under their society, under their nation, and says, from here on you will wander in the desert for a whole generation. And then I will bring the next generation into the promised land. You see, that's what grumbling does. That's what moaning does. It leads us away from God. It leads us away from the goodness of God. We become so consumed with the negative that we lose touch with the depth of God's grace and mercy. And that is the reason why these people are hurting. Look at their circumstances in verse 5. They were hungry. They were thirsty. Their lives were ebbing away. End of verse 4, they could find no city where they could settle. Quite literally, they could find no place where they could sit. The word thirsty in this verse can also be translated was frantic. These are frantic people wandering around all over the place looking for something solid that they can hold on to. But the reason that they cannot find anything solid to hold on to is because they've lost touch with their relationship with God. Now, we may not find ourselves in a literal desert this morning. You may find that you're a bit thirsty, but that will be sorted out, won't it, within the next hour. Or you're a bit hungry. I reckon most of us will find in the next hour and a half, couple of hours, those sort of things will be sorted. So we can end up in a spiritual desert. And there may be some of us here this morning, you're going to identify with this first group of people who are people who are just wandering around all over the place. We've lost the plot. Or maybe we've been grumbling and groaning like the Israelites did when Moses was trying to lead them forward, when all they wanted to do was to go back to Egypt. So let's go back. It's such a great place. But they've forgotten what it was like to live there. Verse 10 describes a second group of people. These seem to be people who are trapped as a result of their own circumstances. Look at verse 10 with me. Some sat in darkest and deepest gloom, prisoners suffering in iron chains. Here is a picture of hopeless people who are hurting because they are unable to free themselves from the circumstances that they find themselves in. Look at verse 11, because here you find the reason why. They have deliberately rebelled against the words of God, and they have despised the counsel of the Most High. In other words, as they look back at their history, God is saying to them, look, if you rebel against me, if you walk out on my ways and on my word, you will find yourselves in circumstances that you cannot get yourself out of. And the reason that they are hurting is because they're trapped. They feel like prisoners in chains. They feel like they're in a prison. They feel like they've got these manacles on them and they cannot move. They're completely trapped. And it's easy to become trapped by things that are not pleasing to God. We can become trapped by things such as sexual sin and pornography. We can become trapped by our emotions, by harboring emotions such as bitterness and anger that we cannot seem to break the cycle or the circle of. But we can also become trapped by things that are good. We can become trapped by leisure and entertainment, for example. Great things in and of themselves. But things that can prevent us from participating in the very things that God wants us to be involved in. And the category of people discussed here in verses 10 to 16 are those people who are bound. They have found themselves in circumstances that they cannot get themselves out of. And the reason in verse 11 that we're given is because they have deliberately not lived their lives in the way that God wants them to. And so they found themselves in a situation that they are completely trapped by. They cannot find their own way out. Verse 17 introduces us to a third group of people from Israel's history. These are people who have been very stupid. These are foolish people. They've become foolish because they've become rebellious. And according to verse 17, they have suffered affliction because of their sinfulness. And here's one of these passages in the Bible that draws a very direct line between our circumstances and our behavior. People are described as fools. They're hurting as a result of their own foolish actions, and they feel discouraged and hopeless. And look at verse 18 with me, because you'll see that it spells out that sense of hopelessness. Here are people who obviously need to be fed in order to stay alive, but what are they doing? They have turned their backs on food, and as a result of it, they're drawing near to the gates of death. They are people, because of the foolish actions that they have taken, feel like they are complete failures, that there's no way back. There are people who have bought the devil's lie that when we mess up and when we get it wrong, and even if we've made foolish and stupid decisions, and then we end up believing that there's no way back. But there is, as we'll see in a few minutes. And then just look with me fourthly at this other group of people, because you can read about these people, these mariners in verse 23. Sailors, mariners, went out on the sea in ships. They were merchants in the mighty water. And here's a people, a group of people who end up hurting through no circumstances of their own. They are out doing their daily work. They're out on the sea because that's where they earn their living. And all of a sudden a storm comes. They have no control over the storm that comes. They're hurting not because of something that they have done, but because they've been caught up, as happens to so many people, in the circumstances of life. And it's interesting in verse 25 that it seems that it's God who permits this storm to come in this illustration. It's God who speaks and raises up a stormy wind which lifts the waves of the sea. And sometimes God permits those storms to come into our lives in order to get our attention. Because we become wanderers rather than pilgrims. God has to do something or permit something to happen that will bring us back on track. Why? Because he loves us. So a tragedy hits and a trial comes to us that we cannot handle and it hurts us deeply and we're left with far more questions than we have answers. And we are like these sailors in verse 25 of this passage. It's a wonderful description, isn't it? Verse 27, they are people who are at their wits' end. They've had it. Their circumstances are such that there seems to be no way out. That there is nothing that they can do. And this psalm about the goodness of God introduces us to four groups of hurting people. The restless wanderers, if you like, who are looking everywhere for some form of security, but they fail to realize that the reason they've lost that sense of security is that they've walked out on God. The second group of people who are trapped by their own circumstances, circumstances that are of their own making because they've deliberately rebelled against what God says in his word. The third group of people who have just acted foolishly. They've been really stupid. They've done something or they've said something that they deeply regret. And now they feel like, I'm a failure. No way back. And then you have this fourth group of people that I suspect many of you here this morning can identify with. Because I just know something of some of your circumstances. And you are at your wit's end. But thankfully, this is not the end of the story in this psalm. It is only the beginning of the story. As firstly, it's a story about people who are hurting. Secondly, it's a story about people who decide deliberately to cry out. You see, we have a real choice, don't we, when we face crises, regardless of whether they're of our own making or not. We can turn to our God, or we can turn away from our God. Now this psalm sets a pattern for us to follow because all four groups of people respond to their crises in exactly the same way. The people who hurt become the people who cry out. And just look with me through this psalm. Verse 6, you will see that it's the frantic and the wanderers and the restless people who cry out. They cried out to the Lord in their trouble. They said, God, we are trapped. There is nothing that we can do. We need you. Verse 13, it's people who are trapped by the circumstances of their lives. They have deliberately rebelled against God. And yet this group too, they call out to God. In verse 19, it's the people who feel hopeless. The people who feel there's a dead end ahead because they've been foolish and stupid. And in verse 28, the group who've been hit by some unexpected occurrence, which is not of their own making, they too follow this same pattern and they cry out to God. And when they cry out to God, he answers them and he reaches out to them and he draws them out of their distress. Charles Spurgeon has a great comment on this psalm. The language is perhaps a little old-fashioned, but I'm sure you can understand what he is saying. Some men, some people will never pray till they are half-starved and for their best interests. It is far better for them to be empty and faint than to be full and stout-hearted. If hunger brings us to our knees, it is more useful to us than feasting. If thirst drives us to the fountain, it is better than the deepest draughts of worldly joy. And if fainting leads to crying, it is better than the strength of the mighty. In other words, there are times in our lives when God will bring us to our knees, whether our circumstances are of our own making or not. Whether we are wanderers or whether we are pilgrims, there are times that in order to get our attention, God will allow us to reach our wit's end. The question is, what will you do when you reach your wit's end? That's the challenge of this psalm, isn't it? Because some people will turn against God and they will become bitter and they will blame God for their circumstances, often circumstances which are of their own making. Or we can turn to God like the pattern which is set out for us in this psalm. You see, here's a story about people who are hurting. Here's a story about people who deliberately cry out to God. But thirdly, as the story continues, it's a story about a God who hears. And that's the great truth of this psalm, because each of these personal stories begins with the same description of people crying out, and then the focus turns to God in each case. And the theme changes from hurting people to a God who hears people who cry out. We were singing in that song a few minutes ago, Faithful, when I call out to you again and again. Because the longer we go on as people of God, the more we understand that that is the root in times of trouble. I call out to you again and again. And what happens in this psalm, he delivers them out of their distress. And here's the encouraging thing that I find in this psalm. Whether their circumstances are of their own making or not, God delivers them out of their distress. You see, that's the goodness of God. People came to us with those kind of stories, we'd probably treat them very differently, wouldn't we? But that's the grace of God at work in this psalm. Such is the goodness and the grace and the mercy of God that our attention is being drawn to. So here you have, if you follow this through in the psalm, this pattern in verse 7, 14, 21, 29. Here are people who cry out to God and God hears them in their circumstances. And then you begin to understand that something remarkable takes place when they cry. You discover something about the character of God. They have his undivided attention. Some of you are parents here this morning. And if you've got more than one child, and sometimes just with one child, you find it really hard to cope. You have several demands coming in several different directions. If you've got two or three or four children, you find that you're juggling all over the place. Some of you are nodding and smiling and nudging each other this morning, because that's exactly what it's like. But God's not like that. When you and I cry out to God, we have his undivided attention because he is a God who hears us. That's what the psalm's saying to us. Secondly, we have his unconditional acceptance. When we cry out to God with a cry that comes out of repentance to make sure that we are coming to God with the right attitude of our hearts, he will always hear us. It doesn't matter whether you're a wanderer or a pilgrim this morning. God won't just say, oh, I only want to hear the pilgrims this morning. I suspect he probably wants to hear more from wanderers this morning as we look at this psalm. But here are people who deliberately walk out in God in verse 6. And God says, I want to hear these people. When they cry out to me, I will hear them. Here are people who've found themselves in circumstances that are their own making, the second group of people, because they've rebelled against God and they found themselves in circumstances that they're completely trapped by. And God says, when those people cry out to me, I will hear them. This is a psalm about God who hears. Stupid people, or not stupid people, but people who have made stupid decisions. Foolish decisions. Those kind of decisions that you think, if only I had never said that or done that. God says, if you cry out to me from your heart, I will hear you. And whether you're at your wit's end this morning, you feel like the storm that you're in is about to completely overwhelm you, when you cry out to God, God will hear you. You will have his unconditional acceptance. And the third thing that you learn about God's character as these people cry out to him and as God hears them is that you find that we have access to the power that delivers us, because God is able to do what he says. Each time it says it here. It is God who delivers them from their distress. Now we need to be careful how we understand that word, deliver us out of distress. More often than not, God delivers us through our distresses. He walks with us through the circumstances of our lives. You find that principle very clearly in Scripture, but he can only do that in cooperation with us. He never, ever forces his way into our lives. But he will walk with us if we cry out from our hearts to him. So here then is a story of a gracious, loving God who hears us. And the reason that he hears us is because of what Christ has done. Because we're sinful people. Here's a God who has the power to deliver us because he is God. Here's a God who gives us his undivided attention because he is God. He won't say, yeah, I'm too busy handling something else's situation. God's not like that. And fourthly, this is a story about people who respond. Look at the pattern in this psalm. The people in verse 6 or in verse 4 rather, the wanderers eventually get to verse 8. Lovely progression, isn't that? People who've wandered away, cried out to God, and it says, let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for men. He satisfies the thirsty, he fills the hungry with good things. And you say, that's not fair. And it's not. It's the grace of God. It's just quite overwhelming, isn't it? Because God doesn't treat us in the way that we deserve to be treated. And the people who are sitting in darkest and deepest gloom and feel like they're trapped by their circumstances because they've rebelled against God in verse 10, they get to verse 15 in this psalm. And they too give thanks to the Lord because of his unfailing love and mercy and grace, because he breaks down the circumstances that they find themselves in. And the third group of people in verse 17, they get to verse 21. These people who have made foolish decisions, things that they bitterly regret, they too are encouraged to give thanks to the Lord because of who he is. And then we have that group of people caught up because of the circumstances that are just part and parcel of life. They too reach a stage in their lives or their experience in verse 31 where they're encouraged to give thanks to the Lord and then to make his name known in the assembly. Tell God, tell people what God's been doing. It's one of the reasons why I'm looking forward to Easter Sunday night. It gives us one of those opportunities in the life of our church where we can tell one another about the goodness of God. And then verses 32 to 43, which we won't look at in much detail this morning, but they paint a wonderful picture of the goodness of God. They remind us that God is the giver of life. Just look at how these verses work with me. Verse 33, notice what God is able to do. He turns rivers into a desert. He turns flowing springs into thirsty ground, fruitful land into a salt waste. But in verse 35, he is also able to work things in the opposite direction. He can turn the desert into pools of water, and he can turn parched grounds into flowing springs. And he can bring hungry people to places where they can live. And these verses are designed to remind us that it is God who is in control of our lives and not us. He is the one who is able to change our circumstances. And when we begin to depend on ourselves rather than on God, we become wanderers rather than pilgrims. Here is a story about real people. It's a story about people who are hurting. But it's also a story, as we've seen this morning, about people who make a conscious decision to cry out to God in their circumstances. Some of those circumstances are of their own making, and others are not. There are people who make a conscious decision to cry out to God, and this psalm tells us God will hear. This psalm encourages us to respond to God. So what does this psalm have to say to us this morning about our experience of the goodness of God? What does it say to you about the goodness of God this morning? Well, I suppose in some ways it all depends where you are in the story, doesn't it? Is there a particular group of these people that we've looked at this morning that you say, oh, that's me? Maybe you're hurting this morning because you've wandered away from God. Or you rejected God's purposes for your life and you found yourself trapped by circumstances that you're finding it difficult to get out of this morning. Or you've made some very foolish decisions. You bitterly regret making those decisions. You feel that there's no way forward. Maybe you're just hurting because you're caught up in the circumstances of your life and you're at your wit's end and you don't really know what to do next. But here this morning is a psalm which recalls the stories of real people. It is rooted in the experience of God's people. It's a real story about real people. And because it's about real people, it's a story which we can identify with. But it ends with a challenge, doesn't it? Because as we saw last week, there is always a purpose to the revelation of God. God just doesn't reveal himself to us and say, look, here's some more of my character. This is my hobby. It doesn't work like that. God reveals himself to us because he looks for a response from his people, which is why we end up where we began, in a sense, where this psalm says, look, if you are really wise, you will think these things over. It is time that you appreciated a little more of God's deep mercy and love. Elements of the prodigal son in this story, isn't there? Of people who reach a stage in their lives who quite literally come to their senses and say, this is a crazy place to be. What have I left behind? Maybe that's where some of us are at this morning. We've become spiritual wanderers and we've lost contact with God and his people. But like the second group, we've been deliberately ignoring God's word. Or the third group, we've made decisions which are foolish and they left us feeling pretty silly, pretty hopeless. And God is saying to us this morning, it's time to come home. It's time that you came to your senses. And when you cry out to me, I will respond. When you do that, I will hear you. I will accept you. I have the power to bring you through whatever you may be experiencing. And there are others of you who are here this morning, and you are like the sailors in this chapter here, and you are at your wit's end. And you've cried out to God, and you feel that God has not answered you. We need to remember that God will not always immediately take us out of the circumstances in which we find ourselves. That's what Paul had to find out as he wrote parts of our New Testament. He says, I've learned to be content whatever my situation. Why could he write that? Because he knew that God was with him. God's promise in this psalm is that no matter where we are, no matter how far we may have strayed from God, no matter what circumstances we find ourselves in this morning, if we come to God with the right heart, God always answers the cries of his people. Whether you and I are responsible for the mess that we're in or not. Because that's how the grace of God works. And if you're at your wit's end this morning, for whatever reason, remember again that God wants to change us from wanderers into pilgrims. That's his task. He wants to keep us on track. He wants to keep us on the right route. He wants us to learn the lessons from the stories of his people. He wants to take broken people. He wants to redeem them. He wants to use them. So if you're one of those restless, frantic people looking for that place of refuge or that city of habitation that's described at the beginning of this psalm, or whether you're in bondage because of the circumstances that you find yourself in this morning, or whether you've made some very foolish and stupid decisions that you bitterly regret and you think God can never use you again, or whether you are at your wit's end because you've been hit hard by an unexpected tragedy or failure, Psalm 107 is for all of us. God's promise in this psalm is that he will never leave us. He will never forsake us. He has promised to answer us. He's promised to give us his undivided attention. He has promised to give us his unqualified acceptance. And he possesses the power to deliver. What more do we need to hear? Israel had this psalm to help them to learn from mistakes of the past. It was probably regularly sung or read in the temple when they came to worship God. The question is, as we look back over our own individual histories, what response are you going to make this morning? What is it that God wants to say to you and to me as we look at this psalm together? There's a lovely invitation, isn't there, at the beginning of Isaiah, where God says to people who have wandered away, he says, come, he says, let's reason together. Let's work this out together. Even though you've wandered far away from me, he says, we can work this out. And the reason that we can work this out is because of Christ. So let's take some moments quietly, shall we, just to think about our own stories of history this morning, where you are at before God this morning. Firstly, we need to answer the question, are we wanderers or are we pilgrims? Only you can answer that question. But that's a good place to start as we respond to God. And if you're a pilgrim this morning and you know you're on the right track, then take great encouragement from this psalm that God always keeps his promises. that he always hears you when you cry out to him. But if you wandered away this morning, then you need to hear again God's invitation to come to your senses, to cry out to God like these people did in this psalm, because some had deliberately wandered away, some had found themselves in difficult circumstances because they disobeyed God. Others have made foolish decisions. And maybe for some of us this morning, God's saying, it's time to come back. Let's make our responses before God now.